What do you know about the sugars in our food?
They're simple molecules which are easily broken down in the mouth and the stomach, digested quickly into the bloodstream, give you energy.
A lot more sugar in processed food than you think. I think, particularly more recently, I think companies have increased the amount of sugar that's put into foods, and it's not necessarily obvious from the taste that it's there, but it is. So I think you have to be aware that sometimes things you don't think are sweet have actually got a lot of sugar inside, but it's not always obvious.
You find sugar in a lot of savoury things that you wouldn't expect, like cheese biscuits or crackers, sort of crisps.
There's usually, in my opinion, too much sugar in, particularly in processed food, and it's often hidden in places where I wouldn't expect to have found it. Example being baked beans and tomato ketchup. But if you read the labels, as we're all encouraged to do now, you discover there's sugar in most things.
We don't need it, but manufacturers put it in because it makes the food more instantly attractive when you first put it into your mouth. And like you say, things like crackers, which ought to be savoury, they don't need to be sweet. But probably companies have found that if they add some sugar to it, it sells better.
Addictive, sugar's addictive, isn't it? So you crave more. If it's got sugar in, you're going to crave. Go through the whole packet where you may just have one or two.
Exactly.
And I suppose from my point of view, since I was diagnosed diabetic, it's the enemy, but I also believe you do need it. I think it is necessary to live, because even if you don't take sugar, that I believe inside your body, foods that aren't ostensibly sugar as such are converted into sugar, because that's how it gets transferred around the body. And with diabetes, one of the problems is your mechanism to absorb it into the cells where it would be converted into energy is defective in some way, either can't get into the cells or the necessary.
Well, yeah, when I say you don't need it, what I meant was you don't need to eat it because, as you say, if you eat complex carbohydrates, say you ate brown rice, for example, your body would slowly convert that into sugar and release it gradually. But if you eat spoonfuls of sugar, then it's, well, that's what we don't need to do. We don't need it in that form.
It's released too quickly into the bloodstream, isn't it? Added sugar rather than a slow release.
Exactly, yeah.
I think probably for me it changed when I stopped working, because when I was at work, I used to feel the need, whether it was real physiological need or just imagined need, but in the halfway through the afternoon, I was really feeling that I was tired of being there, probably. I'd try and sort it out with a flapjack or something. After I'd been doing that for quite a while, it occurred to me to write to them because they didn't put any nutrition information on the pack, and these flapjacks were running to 800, 900 calories a go. So I don't do that anymore, but I do still like a biscuit with an afternoon coffee.
Did you have a vending machine at work full of Mars bars and things? Because you did, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. Irresistible draw of the vending machine at 3:30.
Yes, there was a vending machine, but you had to stock up on the flapjacks in advance. They were only on sale at lunchtime. Which meant, of course, yes, you had some in the drawer, and there was no hope if you were
No,
doomed.
no. Many years ago, I worked in a chocolate factory. Am I allowed to say which one? No. I worked at Mars, and that there they used to have a box of reject products at the end of the department, and you could just go and help yourself whenever you wanted. I always limited myself to one a day. This was a very long time ago, but I always thought it would give me a sort of interest in chocolate, which it does actually, because I always compare different varieties. Fascinating place to work.
I wonder if people, if you work in that environment, whether you know, you get so much chocolate you just don't like it anymore.
When I first went there, I thought, well, this will cure me of chocolate forever.
But it didn't.
No, I have a more professional interest in it. I can remember just a lot of discussions about the morality of selling chocolates and selling them in vast quantities, and wouldn't it be better to use your energy in selling other things? But then people used to say, but think of the pleasure you're giving people, which is true. So it's very, very difficult, you know, a very efficient organisation, and they're selling chocolates.
Very dodgy. You could say that about cigarettes, couldn't you?
Well, you could, yeah.
Well, marketing will do anything, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Mars was sold as almost a health product. Helps you work, rest and play.
You know, before the invention of chocolate or anything, people would pick the fruit off the tree and because it tastes nice. It's Adam and Eve, isn't it, really?
I think it's in our genes. I think we're hardwired to like sugar. I really believe that.
I work in a children's nursery, and very, very young children seem to automatically prefer sweet food to savoury food. It's like you say, it's almost as if they're wired
they're
up
to... born to like it.
Yeah.
I suppose if you go back to prehistoric times, it's much easier to pick a berry off a tree than to kill a rhinoceros or something.
Probably is a bit easier.
Yeah. And less dangerous.
For small, well, for babies, isn't breast milk, isn't that sweeter as well?
Yes, have you not tasted it? It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's your first, you know, it's your first.
It's your first.
The first thing you taste. Mm.
And as Helen said at the beginning, it's the immediacy. So it can be like a mood changer. You're feeling tired and you have a bit of sugar, and immediately, more or less, it hits because you've got that extra bit of energy briefly, probably just abusing your system, but it makes you feel good at the time.
Yeah.
There's a switch, isn't there? I mean, everybody used to complain about fat.
I see what you're saying.
And now everybody complains about sugar.
Mm. That's true.
I suspect in excess both are bad, but I think you get different problems depending on which one you've had the most of. You know, you're more prone to, I guess, arterial or blood supply problems, I suspect, if you're on fat or too much fat, whereas maybe it's diabetes, etc., from sugars. I'm not sure. That seems to be the way it works, I think.
Well, certainly. As a diabetic, I'm led to believe that if I allow my blood sugar to be too high all the time, then I will suffer diabetic retinopathy, which will make me blind, or my leg will have to be amputated because the circulation's gone. But equally, if I eat lots of fat, presumably the cholesterol will clog up my arteries and the same sort of thing will happen.
Yeah.
So I think I'm probably doomed if I overdo it on either of them.
You've had it, Bob.
Oh, but I don't have to overdo it. That's the theory.
Right, that's it.
I thought they both are an excess of either of them. Is an excess of anything is not a good idea, is it?
I think everything's okay in moderation. If you limit.
The food that's not very good for you is extremely cheap to buy. You can buy a whole packet of biscuits for 50 pence. And to take this even further, for the first time in my life, just before Christmas, I had a McDonald's because I was with a group of people and they were all having one. And I said, well, I've never been to a McDonald's, so I don't know. And they said, we'll choose for you. We'll get you a Happy Meal. So the Happy Meal came and it was a hamburger in a bun with some chips and a drink, and it was less than £2.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So now I know why. There's a queue outside the door all the time.
Yeah. There wouldn't be if the government slapped a load of...
So I do think, you know, the food that's not good for us should be the expensive. It should be the other way round.
It should be the other way
Vegetables,
around.
I think, are extremely expensive sometimes.
Outrageously expensive, and fruit's expensive.
Yes.
Mm. We were on holiday and we were in Grimsby on Humberside, weren't we?
Mm.
And it's not a great place to visit because it's... Very poor, very run down, low, very high unemployment. and the town centre is like all the shops are boarded up, and it's just, but we were very interested to notice that everybody we saw out on the streets was either overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my son about this, he said, yes, well, of course, that's because exactly what you've just said. People can only afford to eat
cheap rubbish, fattening food. A whole packet of chips, you know, oven chips. A huge, great big bag, and it's a pound.
And yet
you know, if you've got a two or three children to feed, I can quite understand why that would be purchased.
Because it fills them up. Whereas you could pay twice the price for a cauliflower. Well, that's not going to fill anyone up.
Really?
No.
Crazy.
It's not just that it's cheap to go to McDonald's. It's also easy. It's fashionable.
Absolutely.
It's something you don't have to devote much time to.
That's right.
And these days, you know, kids and ourselves, we're all engaged in all these interests. We want to read things and watch things on television and go out to places and all the rest of it. And we don't, you know, unless you consciously think, well, making and eating food is something that deserves an allocation of time in your life, then, I mean, I know when my partner goes away and I have to cook for myself, I know it's going to take me a long time because I'm not used to it, so I would get better over time. But also, yeah, I'm having to think, well, while I'm doing that, I can't be doing any of those other things. I could be listening to the radio. That's about it. No, I think there's a lot of morality in it for me. It's, am I eating the right thing? No, I'm not. But I'm not a good person, so that's fine. Sometimes it's like, oh, I managed to resist that. I am a good person for the moment. But also, more and more these days, the morality of, oh, this is intensively farmed beef, it's got all sorts of implications for the animals, for the environment, for the future of the human race. Okay. But I'm going to eat it anyway. I mean, it's here, it's done, it's too late. Everything's happened. Maybe in future I'll try and change my habits. But yeah, and then yes, I have changed my habits over time, but it's not something you can win at, is it? There's always the next thing.
I think children should learn about nutrition and healthy eating, and I think they should also learn how to cook at school. Cookery in schools, certainly when my children were there, and what people have told me more recently, it's absolutely appalling. They don't cook anything except rubbish, and they only have one lesson, so it's not long enough to actually prepare something, cook it and eat it. So they just teach them to do very quick things like cakes. And they're not taught about the nutritional background behind it, only about how to mix it and cook it. And I think that they should start actually in nursery school, age three, because a lot of them don't learn at home how to cook or how to eat well. And it's really just, to me, it's massively important for the whole of your life. It decides how you'll be eating and what you'll be eating for the rest of your life. And I can't understand why the national curriculum can ignore that.
I remember reading a book, because I've always read books on all this sort of thing.
Nutrition.
And the bit that hit me most was people digging their own graves with their knives and forks.
Oh.
Digging your grave with your knife and fork. And it's so true.